You will know that I'm a huge fan of Shakespeare, thanks in part to my former English teacher, Mr. Mark Pynchon, who I've spoken about on the show a number of times. Growing up in the UK, this guy, Mark Pynchon, was our English teacher when I was in, I can't translate the grades, but I was about 13. And the first Shakespeare that we did was Julius Caesar. Wasn't a massive fan of that. Then we did Romeo and Juliet. And he was growing on me. And then he plonked down onto the desk a copy of Othello, and I was taken. Now, very now, a black ram is tapping your white you. It's on at it's on at the Baxter. Lara Foote's Othello is on at the Baxter currently, and starring as Emilia is award-winning actor Faniswa Yusa, who joins us on in studio now. Hello.
Hello, Sarah.
I'm so excited that you're in. I'm so excited that it's on.
Yay!
How's it going? And I was meant to come on Thursday. And guys, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I had it scheduled for the wrong day. But luckily, Fahim says I can go when I like.
Yes,
so I will.
Yes.
How's it going?
Oh, my word. It's been amazing. Like the response. You know what? I'm not going to lie. When we were rehearsing it, we kind of like knew that we're doing something special here.
Yeah?
Because also like in the rehearsal room, it was like everyone, we're on the same page. Like we're talking about things. We were talking about race. We're talking about issues. So we're not shy to talk about that. So we knew by the time we get on stage that we're going to have something magical, something people can relate to.
Yeah.
And the response has been like so amazing. I must admit, I'm a bit overwhelmed by it all. I am a little bit overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because you never know until you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can only imagine and hope that people are going to love it. But it's speaking to people, South African people, in a way that we didn't imagine that Shakespeare would.
It's so interesting that you say that. And I know there is an argument, and I get it. I know that a lot of people say, but why do we give so much weight to Shakespeare? We've got our own wonderful African stories, and yes, we do. And as a people, we are storytellers.
Yeah.
However, there is so much that the thing with Shakespeare, in my experience, is that you can have conversations that just surpass all sorts. They are universal themes that
right.
you can bring into the current.
Right.
And Othello particularly illustrates that. I remember one of the questions that we were asked, because I did exams on Othello. And one of the questions, and this was in, showing my age, 1990, no. Couldn't have been 94. I was maybe a bit older. Late 90s, early 2000s. And one of the questions specifically was around, was this book ahead of its time? Was Shakespeare talking specifically to race?
Yeah.
Or does it just so happen? And what I love about Othello is that you can ignore the race aspect if you want. And it's still, mm-hmm. there's still a story to be told. Or, as we are doing, or you are doing now, you can really go into it and you can explore that.
Yeah.
It's such a great...
It is so exciting. I mean, also, like, we're not only just doing Shakespeare, we're also speaking to Shakespeare, interrogating his writing as well. Like,
right.
what did you know about a black man?
Right.
Yeah. At that time, what did you know? Because often it feels like Othello is just this figure. And most of the time he's played like this amazing, beautiful, brown skin, very masculine.
The war.
But do we really know about this man? We don't.
Right.
So what we're doing with this one, we're also trying to humanize the man.
Mm.
You know, he's vulnerable. And the fact that he's in a foreign land,
right,
married to a white woman, and like everyone hates him for that. Not only that he's beautiful, but he's also smart. He's very brave.
He's got
a
integrity.
Good soldier. He's got integrity. But then people forget about that. So we also want to bring that to the human. Like, who is Othello?
Yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? So what we did is we also borrowed from Frantz Fanon.
Okay.
He's writing about a black man.
Oy.
Yeah. And also because it was
chilled,
and also because it was first done in Germany. Lara was asked to do Othello in Germany.
Yeah.
So she wanted to do something that has a bit of a German history,
okay.
which is when they colonized Namibia.
Right.
So our Othello is set in Berlin to Namibia.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we've set it at.
So clever.
Yeah.
In terms of the women in the play, people often focus on Desdemona, right?
Mm.
And but for me, Emilia is as interesting a character. Just talk a little bit about your relationship with Emilia.
Okay, there's two things. I mean, I think Emilia was very much ahead of her time.
Yeah.
Also, she was stuck in this world that was not moving. She was moving, but the world was not moving. Mm. So there's a conflict within, like also like the relationship with her and Iago. It's quite toxic in a way. It's brutal.
Brutal.
Do you know? And you sort of like, you get to understand that both of them are from a very dark space.
Yeah.
I don't even think they understand what love is. And now they found each other because they can identify with that. But do they really love each other? We don't know. I'm still exploring that every night.
I love that.
So I have to find something every night to sort of like, why is she married to him?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Who's playing Iago? I'm so sorry.
Pretorius is playing Iago.
Hello.
Hello, ma'am. Okay. He's one of my favorite actors. I'm so excited. I was a bit starstruck.
I was a bit fanning.
You know, he's a younger actor, but I was still a bit fanning. You know, when someone is great, someone is great. What can you do?
True. Yeah.
So also with Amelia, it's been also rumored that she did the first feminist speech ever in Othello.
Yeah. She's got that monologue.
That monologue is said to be one of the first feminist monologues in a play.
Can I ask you just a little bit? It's basically her talking about you do it and then we'll unpack it.
I'll do a couple of lines.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to get chilled.
I do think it's their husband's fault if wives do fall. Say that they slack their duties and pour our treasures into foreign laps, or else break out in peevish jealousies, throwing restraint upon us. Or say they strike us, or scant our former having in despite why we have goals, and though we have some grace, yet have we some revenge.
Just got chills. But it is. I love that. I love that take on it as Amelia as this really kind of feminist character. She's got a great deal of insight, right?
She does.
She's got huge insight for one so young, also because she often is portrayed as being very young.
Yeah. I'm probably the oldest. I've seen older. I've seen older.
Tell me about your own relationship with Shakespeare, because I know that some actors adore and some don't. Where did you land? Like, and also saying you love Shakespeare, and I say it all the time, but actually, if I ever have to sit through Julius Caesar, I'm going to need to be paid good money. Just telling you now, Fahim, if you bring Julius Caesar to the Baxter, you're going to have to crowbar me into a seat. Miss me, because E2SJ, no. Because I'm not... I just couldn't really get involved. I mean,
Shakespeare as a play on its own has got like a history. Do you know, for instance, like with Othello, was never played by a black actor for the longest time.
Right.
For the longest time. So there's always been that issue, like, you know, Shakespeare belonged to a certain class, a certain race. So even us, when we're in drama school, I kind of felt that, you know, and also the language is so difficult, you know, it's so heightened, it's so difficult. And also for me, English is my second language, you know, and I'm a black woman with a bit of an accent, you know what I mean? Yeah. So now you have to deal with the language itself. But I've realized as I was growing up, it's like, I can't be scared of it. Acting is acting.
Right.
Characters are characters. Humans are humans. I can only approach it from a human perspective. And for me, I have to also try to love the language.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to love the language.
You know,
who cares if I don't pronounce it like 100%?
Care.
Who cares?
I don't care.
If I have the feeling, I hope that's what I'm...
The thing with Shakespeare as well is that, and I think this is why this English teacher that I often talk about, why he captured it so well, where other teachers who were teaching Shakespeare in my school didn't. He made us get up. He made us get up and perform it.
Yeah.
He said, this isn't meant for reading.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be you sitting there and me reading it and this kind of rote learning. It's meant to be performed. And he said, once you transition into that way, because we'd say, sir, we don't understand. And he'd say, that's because you're sitting here trying to, you know, and he would give us little clues. And he would say, right, so this is this scene and this is what he's trying to project.
Yes.
And this is what they're trying to say. And then it just made it so much more accessible.
Yeah. I mean, and also South Africans, we have beautiful languages. There's something poetic about this. There's something poetic about Afrikaans. So we are people of beautiful poetic languages.
Yeah.
Why are we scared of that?
Because it's been placed on a pedestal.
Right? That is the issue.
It's been placed on a pedestal that I'm not going to say it doesn't deserve to be on a pedestal, but it doesn't necessarily deserve to be on the pedestal it's been placed on.
Yeah.
And that's as political as I'm prepared to go at 17 minutes past nine on a morning. Because it is that thing of it's the holy
grail.
Right. It is just one form of literature. In terms of your previous work, is there, do you draw from that? Do you draw from your history as a performer for a role like this, or do you come at it completely afresh?
So it's a mixture of two things, because I've been doing it for 24 years now. So Lara calls it the technique, when you know what you can bring, but then sometimes it can become a problem because those are tricks.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, those are tricks. So you have to constantly find the newness, the sizzle. So, and then that's when I draw from myself, because also I have to love Emilia.
Yeah.
There is no way I should judge her.
Sure.
I can't judge her. So I need to be 100% agreeing to what she's doing.
Sure.
As
an
actor.
How have you come to that? How have you come to that thing of, and I suppose again what it speaks to is that we are all flawed, right?
Yeah.
None of us are perfect.
So that is when it gets very personal, because sometimes you have to tap into your own flaws.
Okay. So are there moments where on stage we're actually seeing Vaniswa rather coming through Emilia? Emilia is the vessel.
Those who know me, yes.
Really?
Those who know me, it's like, that was deep. I was like, yeah, you know,
sure.
I'm a person, I'm flawed, I go through stuff, you know.
Are you allowed to give us a little bit of the rehearsal process? Because I always think it's so fascinating in that perhaps there is an idea that the rehearsal process is just, do you know your line?
Mm.
Yes. Do you know your line? Yes. Let's say them and then go home. But it's an exploration, isn't it? Is there workshopping that's happened?
I mean, with Shakespeare, it's very difficult most of the time, because sometimes you don't have the history of the characters. For instance, with Emilia, it doesn't tell you who
Nothing.
She is. You have no clue who she is, where she's from.
Right.
Does she have parents? You know, does she have brothers? No idea.
Yeah.
So as an actor, it is my job to re-emerge in her.
Sure.
I need to place her somewhere.
Yeah, what a privilege. Hey?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How old she is, what it was like growing up.
Where have you placed her in terms of age?
Probably in her late 30s.
Have you?
Which is actually younger than me, Vaniswa, because I'm 48, which is much older than what Shakespeare. But then again, everyone was dead by 30 years old around those time. So all the characters are like 16 to 22.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the research I've done, they've placed it like age 22.
Yeah.
But also, like, for me, I don't trust that particular now, because she carries so much with her, so much history.
Yeah.
She comes with so much stuff.
Yeah.
You know, even with the one lines that she throws, there's so much stuff. So as also part of rehearsal, you have to unpack those lines. Where are the lines coming from? What do you think they mean?
Yeah.
And then I have to go back to this biography that I've created of her. So I need to constantly checking with the director. Do you think this makes sense? This biography that I've created for her, does it make sense to you?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so interesting to me. I just want to go to a few of the messages that are coming in. And if you are just joining us, 21 minutes past 9 o'clock, Vaniswa Yisa is joining us in studio. You can currently see her as Emilia in Lara Foote's Othello at the Baxter. Someone's saying, this Othello is for everyone who hates Shakespeare, everyone who loves Shakespeare, and those who are indifferent. It is phenomenal, and Vaniswa is always stupendous. Unmissable is overused, but this is unmissable.
Hi,
SJ. Enjoyed Othello on Monday night. I also studied this 46 years ago in my matric year, so needless to say, this play was such a refreshing approach. Well done to the whole crew. Iago was fantastic as well. Atandwa Kani is John Kani in many aspects. Divine. They're both divine. I'm allowed to say that.
I agree.
They are both divine. Somebody saying, wonderful radio. Thank you, Cape Talk. SJN, your fabulous guest. So interesting listening to this conversation about Othello, it says 2D. I remember, like, my experience with Shakespeare before I had this wonderful teacher was that once I was given the book, I would always run off to the library and go and get the Cliff Notes because I always, because I always struggled so much. So I want to, okay. Did you do that?
I love that. There's what you call Shakespeare for Dummies. I read Shakespeare with Shakespeare for Dummies.
No, come
so
on.
When I don't understand, I go, she's like, what does it mean? No, I'm not even ashamed to say it.
Part of that is was my love for it because suddenly you get it. You can be following it and then you go,
yeah,
cut off their maiden heads. What does that mean? I think we all know what that means. But you can go to the and then suddenly go, oh, Shakespeare was quite dirty, wasn't he?
Yes.
I mean, he wasn't afraid. When you unpack some of that language, it's quite...
Everything is raw.
Very raw.
It is so raw. You know, it's saucy. He was saucy,
Very saucy.
The violence was saucy.
But I guess, again, because when you take it out of the context of the Globe Theatre, etc., and how it was, he was writing for the masses, wasn't he? It wasn't as we've now, you know, Shakespeare and the elite and all that. He was writing for the people who could pay a couple of whatever it was at the time, who wanted to come in and have some Saturday night entertainment, and some of it was quite debauched.
Yeah, there would be tomatoes thrown at you. As a performer, if they don't like it.
Imagine if that was how we still did things. That would be amazing. Listen, talk about just your career. When did the storytelling bug bite you?
Oh, my word. I think I've always been a performer from Sunday school. The first role I've ever played, I played Jesus. In church.
Listen, there's how progressive. There are memes out there about a black female woman Jesus. And I love that.
And my mom tells this story where I was like, giving my disciples like blessing. And one of them like bumped on me. And then I fell and I started crying. So I was a crying Jesus.
That's the best kind. Where was this? Where did this legendary performance? This was a church.
Yeah. Sunday school.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And then was there a moment, I'm always interested to know, we had Brandon Daniels in studio the other day and he was talking about his love of storytelling came from his grandfather who would sit them all down and tell stories, and he knew that that's where he wanted. Did you have a similar experience? Was there a book or a play or something that spoke to you and you thought, I want to do that?
I think for me it was because I think when I was growing up I wasn't as vocal as, you know, as I am now. So people fascinated me.
Right.
I found people like, you know, there's people that you meet, like the uncles and the aunts, who know how to tell a story.
Yep.
That used to fascinate me because I don't think I was a storyteller then, and I did not know how to tap into that. And just human behavior interests me.
Yeah.
I love the idea that every day I could play someone else. Like for 3 hours, I'm not me. I could just be someone else and tap into someone else. Tapping out is very difficult.
Is it?
Most people say which one is difficult, going into and going out. Going into for me, because you've had the rehearsal process, you sort of like find ways on how you can tap into the character.
Yeah.
Tapping out becomes difficult.
I'm
taking Amelia home.
Do you take her off? Do you have a de-Amelia-ing process?
Most of the time we forget to de-Amelia.
Wow.
And sometimes we take Amelia home.
Okay. Okay.
How she moves, how she speaks sometimes. It was like, oh, that was not me. That was Amelia.
That's so fascinating. Yeah. For those of us who don't do what you do.
Yeah.
That is
so, I mean, like for actors, like sometimes you have to be wary of them. Like sometimes they don't mean to be. Maybe they've just brought back home the character.
Yeah. of all the roles that you've played over the last 24 years, is there one that has stuck with you particularly? Is there one that you haven't liked and you've been glad to see the back of? Do you know what I mean?
That character didn't... f- for me, I don't even think it's a matter of the character I didn't like. It's, for me, it's a process thing.
Right.
Do you know, because I believe, like, for when I've said yes to a project, then I need to give it my hundreds. Yeah. But sometimes the process doesn't quite work out.
Okay.
Maybe sometimes we're not gelling.
Okay.
You know, you don't understand the director's vision. You don't understand other actors. It's not a safe space. Then it becomes quite a painful experience.
I hear you.
I've had one of two of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not in terms of the character. Do you always have to find something in the character? Do you always have to find the humanity in the character?
Oh, you must all the time, even when you're playing a villain.
Even when
you're playing a villain, you need to understand what they're doing is because they wanted to get that and they don't mean to hurt anyone, but they have to hurt this person because that's what they need to get, and what they need to get belongs to them and they deserve it.
The psychology of acting, like when you're talking to, like, you know, real actors, not that, you know, but it really, there's so much that we could learn through people like yourself, really, because as you explain it, and I think very often, particularly in this day of social media, you go on social media and every next person is a narcissist, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes.
This one's calling that one, everyone's
yes.
a narcissist. And actually what we're forgetting to do is it's all very well and it can be useful to pathologize sometimes, and it can be useful to have labels. But what that does, unfortunately, is it dehumanizes
and it
makes us forget that people do things largely because of the way that other people or things, situations make them feel. And when we remove that and we go, oh, they're doing it because they're a narcissist, or we're doing it because of that.
Which is interesting because most people love villains.
Right.
In real life, they go like, oh, no, the person's a narcissist, but we hate them, blah, 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 blah. But
people
then they
love
go.
To hate.
Yeah. And then you watch something, you're like, oh, that was my favorite character.
Right.
So we also need, as humans, before we start judging other people, what's the fascination?
That's interesting to me. And then going back to Othello, as much as I love the character of Othello, Iago's the one for me.
See now, you like the villain.
Listen, it's the story of my life.
I have to love him because he's my husband.
I
don't know what's your excuse. He's my husband, Iago, so I have to love him.
But if I had to sit down at a dinner, you know, if I had to be shut in a room with one of them, I'd pick Iago every time. I would, and I'd sit down and I'd say, who hurt you? Who hurt you, sir? Because it's so complex. Like, what is that jealous maniac?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? You know, really, really interesting.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy. Listen, it is. I cannot wait to come and see.
Yay.
I really can't wait to come and see. You were in Life and Times of Michael Caine.
Yes, I was.
Right. Let's just have a minute silence for that.
Okay.
Broke me.
Oh,
Vicky, we went to see it together, didn't we? I cried. I cried because there's elements of the story that are sad, but I cried because I was moved by everything about it. I was moved by the beauty of what I was seeing. I was moved by the atmosphere in the theatre. It was just a really emotive piece for me, and it left me. I walked out of there and I walked up to my car. Got parking at the top. Walked up to my car and you're talking about getting rid of a character, but it sat with me. And as I drove home, I thought, I've just witnessed something so beautiful. There's something about puppetry that is beyond. But thank you for it. It was magnificent.
Thank you.
Oh, it was magnificent.
Thank
if
you.
I ever get the chance to see it again.
Yes, he's going to China next month.
I'll come with.
Okay.
Are you going?
Yes.
After Othello.
A day after Othello.
She's busy. You can catch her as Emilia in Othello, Lara Foote's Othello. Please, folks, go and see it. Even if you think, but I've never really got on board with Shakespeare, put all that aside. I'm begging you to do this. Put all that aside, go and see it, and then we'll talk afterwards, because there's something particularly about Othello that is just magnificent. It's relatable. It is... The themes that are talked about are universal. The characters are complex, and yet they are us. Because we are complex. Fanisa, it's been an absolute treat to have you in with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've absolutely loved this conversation.